Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, do not allow the practice of Tatbir and Qamazani because it damages the reputation of the Shia religion, the school of Ahlul Bayt, and it distorts its image, and it gives a bad impression. And more importantly, of course, the mainstream media misuse the images that that become viral on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, what will happen? The Shia school of thought will be smeared as a religion which supports violence, which supports advocates bloodshed and so on and so forth.
I see. Thank you very much, Shavi. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein plan to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul, to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new lands.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
وإنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي صلى الله عليه وآله.
The words of Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام in dialogue.
صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the son of the Lady of Light, the esteemed Fatima, the son of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the grandson of the esteemed and honorable Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the beacon of light which guides towards salvation and prosperity, the one who addresses Allah on the day of Ashura, saying, in so many difficulties and sorrows, I have unburdened myself upon you and brought my grievances before you, O Allah. This is because I lean on you and I am inclined towards you. I tend towards no other. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the master of martyrs, these are his words. Imam al-Husayn's words near Karbala. Surely we are for Allah, and to Him we shall return. And may all praise be to Allah. I took a short nap and dreamt a horseman who was heralding. The people travel at night and death travels to them. So I learned that it was the news of our death. May Allah reward you the best of the reward.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwahi allati حلت بفنائي عليك مني.
Dear audience, now let's listen to some parts of زيارة الناحية المقدسة. Stay tuned.
وبقي الليل والنهار. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام على الحسين الذي سمحت نفسه بمهجته.
Peace be upon al-Husayn, who sacrificed himself up to the last drops of the blood of his heart.
السلام على من أطاع الله في سره وعلانيته.
Peace be upon him who obeyed Allah secretly and openly.
السلام على من جعل الله الشفاء في تربته.
Peace be upon whom Allah placed a cure in the soul of his place of martyrdom.
السلام على من الإجابة تحت قبته.
Peace be upon the one under whose dome answer to supplications is guaranteed.
السلام على من الأئمة من ذريته.
Peace be upon the one in whose descendants are the Imams after him.
As-salamu ala ibn khatim al-anbiya. As-salamu ala ibn sayyid al-awsiya.
Peace be upon the son of the seal of the prophets. Peace be upon the son of the chief of the executors.
As-salamu ala ibn fatimah al-zahra. السلام على ابن خديجة الكبرى.
Peace be upon the son of Fatima, the radiant. Peace be upon the son of Khadija, the great.
السلام على ابن سدرة المنتهى. السلام على ابن جنة المأوى. السلام على ابن زمزم والصفا.
Peace be upon the son of the lotus tree in the outermost boundary of heaven. Peace be upon the son of the Garden of Refuge. Peace be upon the son of Zamzam and As-Safa.
As-salamu ala al-murammal bid-dima. As-salamu ala al-mahduk al-khiba. As-salamu ala khamis ashab ahl al-kasaya.
Peace be upon him who was saturated in his blood. Peace be upon him whose tents were violated. Peace be upon the fifth of the people of the cloak.
A And now let's listen to Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr al-Ruhani.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و بین استعین صلی الله علیک و عبدالله السلام علیک و رحمت الله و برکاته. This is an episode of the program Dialogue and I'm Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. When Imam al-Hussein al-Salam was on the way near Karbala, well, in daytime, he felt very much exhausted and it was necessary for him to take a short nap. At the same time, we find that when Imam al-Hussein al-Salam reached the station Qasr Bani Muqatil, at night time, he ordered his male companions to fill leather water flasks with water to collect as much water as they could. When they were on the way toward al-Kufa, Imam al-Hussein al-Salam pronounced the Quranic verse, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And this Quranic verse indicates that death news is going to come. Or, for example, the death news of a person has already come. Then we find that Imam al-Hussein's elder son, Ali al-Akbar, inquired of the reason for Imam al-Hussein al-Salam's doing so. Then Imam al-Hussein al-Salam indicated that during the brief nap that he had, he witnessed in dream that someone gave him the martyrdom news. The martyrdom news of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam and his companions. Then it's very instructive that Imam al-Hussein al-Salam's elder son, Ali al-Akbar, never felt any agitation. And he asserted that so long as we are on the rightful side, on the rightful way, we wouldn't be distressed, we wouldn't be concerned with receiving death and being martyred. In this context, it's very important that the sons of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam and his close companions were really carefully selected people. And the being carefully selected people was because they accompanied Imam al-Hussein al-Salam out of their own will and there was no imposition whatsoever. Here, we find that Imam al-Hussein al-Salam's gesture was to inform his companions, and first and foremost his close companions, and in this case his elder son, that the martyrdom scene will be certain, nothing would deter it. And Ali al-Akbar was ready, for martyrdom over there, in Karbala. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. السلام عليك يا عبد الله
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Dialogue. We hope that you remain under the auspicious grace of Imam Hussein today and always.
عليك مني
Cultural news Social news Scientific news Artistic news. With the light.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism. The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years. French rescuers are racing against time to save a beluga whale stranded in Seine River near Paris. The beluga was first spotted stuck between two locks in the river from Paris to the English Channel on Tuesday. Specialists say the animal is undernourished and is refusing food. Warm water is also worsening the health of this creature, which is normally seen near Norway, some 3,000 kilometers to the north. Rescuers say they have only up to 48 hours to save the whale. They are now looking at the possibility of taking the beluga out of the water, treating it, and eventually transferring it out to the sea.
The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the grey green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyah is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground. There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day since the menu largely includes local flavors.
Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, 5 lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden ticket. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Many people develop deeper relationship with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Lemasia has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on, from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome. The chest fever in the southern Indian city of Chennai is on a peak as the 44th International Chess Olympiad kicks off there. Students created a mammoth chessboard on the playground and dressed up as 32 chess pieces to promote the game. For 2 weeks, Chennai is hosting nearly 2,000 players from 188 countries. For the first time in nearly 100 years of history of the Chess Olympiad, India is playing host. The event will run until August the 10th. Ahead of the game, 150 underprivileged children from various government schools were given the opportunity to fly. These were the students who won in a district-level chess tournament. Excited spectators gather at the Solberg Airport in the U.S. for the 39th New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning.
We have about 45 balloons here today, including these spectacular special shapes. Our signature New Jersey Lottery Sunny Days balloon. You can see the tiger. Unicorn is hiding behind there. Tasmanian Devil, unique photo panda. We are having a spaceship. There's Billy the Kid. Spectacular presentation. You won't believe your skies this weekend.
Dozens of hot air balloons were test inflated in preparation for the real deal. The festival is considered the largest summertime event in New Jersey. Reddington City officials have predicted about 170,000 people will join the festival over the weekend. Weather forecasts say the sky are gentle enough for over 100 balloons to take flight in the morning and evening in mass ascents. And no one is more excited than the festival producer, who has been planning the event for months.
Including these spectacular special shapes, the balloons bring out the kid in everyone. You know, I've done this for a long time. This is the 39th annual one. But still, when I hear that propane whirring and these balloons going up, it makes the hair on my arm stand up.
The producer says these balloons will be handled by professional pilots and other balloons will be available for rides. The festival will last for 3 days, ending with food vendors, games, amusement rides, and other entertainment. There will also be a massive fireworks display as well as a nighttime feature of glowing balloons. The annual festival is the largest seasonal hot air balloon festival in North America. It draws in thousands of visitors every year.
You might think twice about throwing out your old trainers after this story. A startup in Tunisia breathes new life into old shoes as artists restore and even customize the footwear. The new business is called Kenenti and is located in the capital, Tunis. Here, the team uses fabrics, laces and leather recovered from various factories for the repair work. The creative artists work on every detail during each project, even the soles of the shoes. The work aims to find solutions to shoe waste and reuse items instead of adding them to the world's landfills. Cherif Zeroui is the co-founder of Kenenti. He says the idea came to him 2 years ago when he discovered the number of shoes thrown away each year in Tunisia.
In France, there were 100 million pairs of shoes thrown away every year. This is a huge figure for us, and for the ecosystem and for the earth. In Tunisia, it's almost the same given the population. There were 3 or 4 million shoes thrown away every year. So we thought of giving added value to these shoes, so we restored them.
Zerbui also says he is happy to create jobs for those willing to participate regardless of the educational degree. Besides shoes, these artists dabble in restoring worn-out handbags, giving them a brand new look. Many of the artists and interns say they are proud to be part of this unique project. They say they feel like a family there. The startup is the first trainer restoration business to be launched in North America. Would you buy a pair of scrap tire sandals? Well, in the Vietnamese capital, Hanoi, you will find all kinds of handmade sandals from recycled tires. The famously rugged footwear of the Viet Cong have traveled vast distances over the decades. Shoemakers use sharp knives and chisels to craft a sandal from huge tires. For those seeking a nod to yesteryear, the hard-sole sandals are available at markets and small stores alike, with prices ranging from $2,000 to $1,000. The Vietnamese first began making rubber sandals in the late 1940s during the First Indochina War against the French, using tires from ambushed army trucks. They found the sandals were cheap to make and survive well in wet, muddy and hilly conditions. Even in peacetime, the design remains popular for sustainability reasons.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamari that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the life and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars, dignitaries, and ulama. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, one from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi, and another from the University of Qom, a faculty member of University of Qom, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhruhani. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Dr. Fakhruhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
So in this new series of the program, The Teacher, in the month of Muharram and Safar, we try to talk about and discuss the life and works of those outstanding ulama who produced at least one outstanding work about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That's why for today's discussion we want to talk about a scholar maybe very much unknown to some of our dear listeners, Sheikh Fazl Ali Ghazvini, the author of Al-Imam al-Hussein wa Ashabuhu. Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Give us a little bit background about this outstanding man, Sheikh Fazl Ali Ghazvini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah. Our condolences on the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein and his companion. As you said, Fazl Ali Qazvini, the author of this book, he is born in 1290 in one of the villages of Qazvin, the city which is located in almost in center of Iran. He had a long journey before he reaches to Najaf, whereby he benefited from the outstanding scholars, namely Akhund Khorasani and Mirza Habibullah Rashti. So before he reaches 15 years old, his father sends him to another city. Actually, from the village, he sends him to Qazvin to stay with the Hauza As-Salihiyya and learn the Hauza lessons. And yes, from there, he moves to Tehran for a short period of time. He stays in Tehran, continues his scholarly life, and from there, he moves to Isfahan in order to benefit from the philosophy and Irfan next to the outstanding great scholars who were living in Isfahan.
That's right.
And after he finishes this package of lessons in Isfahan, he moves to Najaf, where he can benefit from the presence of the great Ustaz, who is Akhund Khorasani. Yes. And after some years, he can gain and obtain the permission of Ijtihad and locate himself and place himself in the circle of Istifta of Akhund Khorasani. When we imagine the position of Akhund Khorasani in terms of fiqh o usul, so it gives us the picture of the great position of Ayatollah Qazvini in terms of the noble understanding on fiqh o usul. So this is very important dimension of his life that must be looked upon.
Yes.
It is not only to be the author of one book, historical or maqtal book. No, he has reached the level of ijtihad, and he has been given this opportunity to be placed in the circle of the istifta, whereby they could receive different questions that they wouldn't find the response in the official book of the marja. So this circle of ijtihad would sit together, discuss together, to come up with the response for the actually people who had asked those.
So it's usually a consultation group, isn't it? Shaped around the character of an outstanding marja, especially the students, and sometimes, for example, through argumentation or reasoning or deductions, an answer to a specific fiqhi or historical question must be given, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, that's all right. Really beautiful, and shows how rich the teaching courses of Akhund Khorasani and his students were. Let's get back to Fazl Ali Mahtavi Qazvini, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. Most of the time, you know, the authors who have been the students of Akhund Khorasani are famous for fiqh or usul al-fiqh or something like that. But this time, this author, and he is known with a historical book on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that is Ashab al-Hussein, or we can say al-Imam al-Hussein wa Ashabahu. What is this book exactly? What is the content? And what was the main motivation of the author to compose such a book?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallallahu alayki wa abdillah. Assalamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It must be indicated that the Shir religious seminaries, Hawza, where we find them, whether in Iraq, in southern Lebanon, in Iran, in the Indian subcontinent, or elsewhere, there are places, or I mean academic spaces, where such scholars are trained, irrespective of the chief denomination or chief academic in the voice of the top-ranking marja-e taqlid.
Okay.
Granted that Akhund Khorasani was very much famous because of his in the voice and his achievements in fiqh, in I mean, principles of fiqh or jurisprudence. However, we find that in his circle, there were certainly many giants of knowledge in various branches of Islamic scholarship, including Islamic history. And the late Fazl Ali Qazvini was one such figure who benefited from the jurisprudential formulas or yardsticks and applied them in the realm of Shia Islamic history.
Including the story of Karbala
certainly,
and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and mainly being concerned with the ashab of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, in the story of Karbala. What does it show? I mean, why their dedication to the Ashab of Imam al-Hussein? I mean, because when you look at the content of the book, for example, the Maqtal of the Imam, the name of the, we can say, the women who were present at Karbala scene, the men who were companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and all this. What is the significance?
Yes, the significance, manifold. First of all, there are at least two trends. One is, historical trend, or, for example, a kind of storytelling or literary trend, mm-hmm. in which the author might regard himself, rightful enough to add some details, as commonly called, zabane hal.
Yes.
Some psychological or imaginative states, okay. or wordings, to ascribe them to any of the figures that was present on the plain of Karbala, in contrast to some people who were really very delicate, people of very high standards and yardsticks, yes. and they were trained in the field of usul al-fiqh. Mm-hmm. Okay, those people who were trained in the school of usul al-fiqh, okay, they were not such people to be deceived very mm-hmm. easily,
okay.
and they rarely accepted whatever told by someone else. In this regard, I should like to say that I do have a copy of this book, mm-hmm. and the edition that I have was printed in four volumes,
yes.
in the year 2015 by Imam Hussein's Holy Shrine.
Okay, that's
and
right.
the last volume, available, the main text is available in three volumes, yes. plus the last one, which consists of various indexes prepared
right.
based on the main body of the book.
That's all right. Okay.
Here we find that, let me add this one.
Okay.
Here we added that, Fazl Ali Ghazvini's approach, even regarding Imam al-Hussein's companions, is quite critical.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't accept anything totally or blindly, rather any indication given over there.
That's right.
Receives a very detailed
That's right.
analysis, either from the point of Arabic linguistic and literary scholarship,
yes.
or from historical
okay.
perspective. Yes.
And this is a look that we expect from the student of Akhund Khorasani.
Yes.
Especially in the historical facts. Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, let's get to the main content of this book. Al-Imam al-Hussein wa Ashabuhu. What is the main content of this book and how did you find it?
Okay, before we talk about the main topics that Sheikh Ghazvini has dealt with in this book, I think this is also very important to know that he was assigned by Akhund Khorasani to go back and stay in your hometown, Qazvin,
uh-huh.
and start teaching, doing tabligh,
okay.
and being with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he would stay with Akhund Khorasani in Najaf, and
yes.
we wouldn't expect such a book from him. So I think it was a very
okay.
important point
okay.
to know that how they would take into consideration the role of tabligh and being
yes.
among the people.
Yes.
It was a kind of sacrifice.
Yes.
If we are familiar with the atmosphere of the ulama, it is a kind of sacrifice to go and stay with the people
yes.
and do the tabligh. So
That's right.
we can consider this as one of the fruits for his sacrifice.
Yes.
And then regarding the topics, this is good to know that the book has been divided into 9 chapters,
mm-hmm.
starting from the all speeches or khutbaha.
Okay. Yes.
All khutab or speeches that Imam has delivered, and the book's messages, the risalat,
yes.
or those communication that would have been taken place in terms of written form
yes.
between the Imam and the people, including from the Kufa or different people, even Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah.
Okay.
And then we have the short sayings of the Imam
mm-hmm.
in the third chapter. In the fourth chapter, we have the wasaya. The wasaya means the last words of Imam to his families, companions, and the rest.
Yes, okay.
And then in the fifth chapter, we can talk about the way that Imam left
mm-hmm.
Mecca. And then he moved to Iraq. Actually, he had started the journey
yes.
to Iraq. And then it reaches the chapter 6, in which he talks about the
incidents and events took place by the night of Ashura.
Okay, which are really important. Okay.
Yes, okay. And what took place on the day of Ashura will be classified in the chapter 7.
Okay.
And this is very important to know. It is not a kind of short information. The whole book, as my dear teacher just mentioned, that he has got 4 volumes of book.
Yes, yes.
So the whole book in the version that I have, it includes 500 pages. So it's a very huge book.
Yes.
It's not a kind of just referring to the things briefly. No,
that's
when
right.
he talks about something, he tries to comprehensively cover all things which has even single or short relationship to the Ashura.
Yes, that's right.
So in chapter 8, he talks about the... Actually, this is regarding the Maqtal.
Yes, yes.
Yes, the way that all companions got martyred and also Imam Hussein alayhi salam got martyred. And the last one, which is very important, that he also has emphasized about the extraordinary events which took place after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, based on Shia and Sunni
references
sources.
And
yes,
sources.
This is very important because we have heard that sun has been darkened. Or the cry of the heavens.
Yes, yes.
Angels.
Yes, yes.
Things like this.
Okay.
And he brings up the analogy of Prophet Yahya, Prophet John.
Yes.
When that type of martyrdom took place, that we know that they beheaded him.
Yes, yes.
The infidels.
Yes, yes.
So he says the same, that we have the ahadith regarding the Prophet Yahya after his martyrdom. Mm-hmm. It is not far from our mind to believe in the ahadith that we have regarding the son of the Prophet.
Yeah. So with comparative analysis, he brings us some other examples of these extraordinary events that took place after the martyrdom or, for example, demise of great men of the history of religion.
Or better to say, first of all, he brings up the riwayat from both sources, Shia sources and Sunni sources. And then, in order for our listeners to comprehend it, he says, okay, the same that we had such a riwayat and reports regarding the way or the incidents which took place after the martyrdom of Yahya, the prophet.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So this is not very far from our mind to believe in whatsoever we have regarding Imam Hussein, the son of the last prophet, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Dr. Farh Rouhani, how did you find this part of the book especially? I mean about the extraordinary events that took place on the day of Ashura, especially after the martyrdom.
Yes, in this regard, it must be indicated, as the late Ayatollah Sheikh Fazl Ali Ghazvini never cited anything except with making detailed and precise references to authentic and reliable sources.
Yes.
It must be indicated that those incidents certainly took place. Otherwise, such a critical-minded scholar like Ayatollah Sheikh Fazl Ali Ghazvini wouldn't have mentioned them.
Yes.
As in the earlier part of my contribution, I indicated there are at least, I mean, 2 branches of those people who usually recount the events of Karbala, those who rely on other people's recountings, and those people who approach everything, not only critically, but in such a way that, they might seem to be finding any counter-evidence, so that at the end they might accept something.
And regarding the Ashab of Imam al-Hussein, in this book, you find it absolutely authentic, isn't it?
Yes, really. Okay. And it must be indicated that, for example, there may be some interpolations in the case of some of the companions of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam. In this case, we find that Fazl Ali Ghazvini presented a detailed list together with the specifications and the comments and the reactions of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam.
And the lineage of these people, I mean, generation after generation, were really honored to be among the martyrs of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam. I mean, the great ancestor was among the martyrs, so they were honored among the Arabs, isn't it?
Yes.
In the Shiite world,
There are many Arab dynasties even right now in, I mean, in the Middle Eastern region who take pride that their ancestor was one of the companions of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam.
And this shows the
significance. Everything is carefully confirmed. Yes.
Okay. This is like, for example, how could I say, the royal family of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, isn't
it?
I mean, the noble blood that is a mind the ashab of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, generation after generation, and they are proud of it. That's all right. So when you go to Imam al-Hussein's holy shrine and the chamber, there is a big plate,
yes,
on the side of Imam al-Hussein, on which the name of the ashab who were martyred, the most important ones, are mentioned over there, okay?
Yes, certainly.
But, yeah, that's all right. These are really neglected, I mean, scholarly speaking.
Yes.
But they are really interesting fields of study to how to take a scientific look at the story of Ashura, the companions of Imam al-Hussein. What
There's
is the story behind?
Yes. You mentioned that, I mean, they've been overlooked. You're yes. right. It has been so. But why? The reason is very important.
Okay.
The reason is that the magnet of the personality of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam has been so powerful
yes.
and attractive that whoever enters this field of research is attracted to Imam al-Hussein al-Islam. And the minute he understands, he finds out that he's been working on this field for at least 25 years. Okay,
that's all right.
Much time has gone only focusing on one person.
One person.
Yes.
That's all right. Sheikh Fazali Ghazvini, the author of Al-Imam Hussein by Ashabuhu, passed away in the year 1367 according to the Hijra calendar. He was buried in the city of Qom in Sheikh Khan Cemetery, which is the burial place of so many outstanding scholars and ulema of the Shiite world. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, be under the auspicious shadow and grace of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, today and always, inshallah. And thank you much, Sheikh Mahdavi.
You're most welcome.
And Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, may this program is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Back to reality. It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my dear friends, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new episode of Back to Reality. Hope you're doing great and everything is just fine with you. Now that we have your precious attention, buckle up to fly beyond the surface of your favorite topics. You are listening to Arab English Radio, and this is Asma, at your service as the host. Well, as for our dear guest, I should say today is heaven. I have two of my very dear amazing friends, and together we'd provide some captivating, thought-provoking stuff for you. And I forgot to tell you that both of them are Zainab. So I shall add that S on you, Zainab.
Yes. Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I'm Zainab Sadat. I have my BA in yes. English Language and Literature and my MA in Teaching English as a Foreign Language. And
so great.
And of course, one of my big interests is in religious studies.
Dear one, Zainab.
Zainab Askari. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
And you, Zainab, please give us a bit about your field of study.
Okay. Well, I have done my master's in linguistics from India.
Yes.
And then I am still engaged in religious studies in the Hausa of Qom as
so
of now.
So I am over exhilarated to be with both of you. Well, life is difficult and no one is out there to say no. Of course, it is difficult and it's got situations that look like calamities and catastrophes. They would fall on you and then everything would collapse around you. Then you would come to this conclusion that, okay, in order to leave, I have to crush my heart mm-hmm. and break all my feelings and turn them into ashes. Mm-hmm. I would turn into a robot mm-hmm. and I'm no longer a human being with feelings because that's what life is going to make out of me. Do you agree? Is it true?
I believe that sometimes it is better for us to just neglect our emotions and do something that we don't want for wow. our own benefit. Yes.
That's so depressing.
Yes. For my case, in the situations where I gained something, I had to turn off my feelings for a while.
So, Zainab, do you agree with her?
Well, as for me, life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes you feel like it's going smooth and everything is
peachy and pink.
Yes, exactly. But then in the moment's notice, you realize that as if you have been thrown a curveball. So life does not go all the time the way you want it to go, mm-hmm. as she said. There's a quote in Urdu. I would like to say that.
Yeah,
har kisi ko mukammal jahan nahi milta, kahin zameen to kahin aasman nahi milta. Not everyone gets the entire world. Sometimes you don't have the earth, sometimes you don't have the support of sky.
So that's the meaning of the quote. And you believe that sometimes we have to kill our feelings.
Of course you have to.
Yes.
That seems very depressing.
And that's
depressing.
Temporary, you know, Asma. You don't have to bother yourself. That's temporary. As soon as you get what you want, you know, it's a must, Asma, in mm-hmm. your life. It's a must. As just Zainab says, life is full of ups and downs and you must be flexible.
Yeah.
You must accept that in some situations, when you like to do something, you should not do that.
You actually grow, I guess.
Yeah.
You grow.
That's mm-hmm. the process of being mature.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, as much as I love to disagree with you, but there's way for me.
Because you have been always the person in my mind that follows her interest and
yes.
rejects everything that is against what she wants.
Yeah.
I think the other way. I think she's not married yet.
Really?
She does not have responsibilities. She does not have so many other things to do.
Yeah.
So once I won't say like you, once you're married, you always get married.
But
once
so it has something to do with getting married.
Of course it has, because, you know, even if you get married to a person of your choice, mm-hmm. still, when responsibilities come in, when other things come in, you are not able to handle all the things at a time. So sometimes, for example, you're a free bird, you were living free before. Now, since you have responsibilities, you have to kill some of the expectations and feelings.
There are lots of cases when you must do things that you hate even.
Yes.
Not the things that you don't like, but things that you hate. About, yes, matrimonial life, yes, Zainab's quite right.
We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Even if you're not married as a human being, I don't know, whatever the case it is, in your personal life, as dealing with other human beings, I don't know, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever that is surrounding you. And actually, if to put it more accurate, I would say life would teach you that sometimes you have to get your heart in your hand and throw it out of your chest and then decide according mm-hmm. to what your brain is going to tell you. Mm-hmm. Because as just Sister Zainab and the other Zainab here with me mentioned, sometimes we have to do it for our benefits because that is where our dignity stands.
Mm-hmm. And we have to kill our feelings. So there is no way to say that. You can always live with whatever that your heart and your feelings are going to tell you.
And Asma, there's another point that I must mention. I want to refer to the verse, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum."
Yeah, exactly.
You can see that sometimes you might start an action that
And we have that expression, Zainab, a blessing in disguise. So it is disguised in a bad form, yes. But it would turn into a blessing.
Yes, you're right. Yes, there are lots of proverbs, verses. Yeah. Yes, that you can say that you start doing something that you don't like and actually hate. But when you start that and when you go on, you come to notice that, no, it's good for me and I'm starting just to like it.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I want to refer to the story of my friend, one of my friends who was just interested in arts and painting and emotional subjects. Yeah. But her family just opposed her. And
such a bad
situation.
They
forced her to go and study law.
Oh my God, that's a crime.
You
from
know,
art to law. There's yes. no relation.
Yes, they made her to go and study law. And at the beginning, she was just, she hated that. She had struggled with her parents. But then gradually, she started studying law, she was accepted at a good university.
But she's not going to be a great liar, trust me.
No, and gradually, the point is that gradually she started to like that
field. Oh my
field.
God, I started loving
Yes,
law.
Yes, she started, and now she's a judge.
Wow.
Yes, and she's a successful judge. You know, that's a good thing. If she followed
Unbelievable.
If she just followed what she liked. I don't want to say that art is a bad thing. But I'm saying that sometimes
no, art is
you
life.
Have to be flexible in
yeah.
your life.
Yeah, I got
And
you,
accept maybe. Choices that are not in your favor. And so gradually you would come to see that they are beneficial for you and you love them a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice story to hear about. Now, Zainab, let's talk about this point that is there any relationship between killing your feelings for your benefit and the sacrifice that you make for other people?
Well, I think most of the times if you... First of all, I think it's not killing the feelings. It's masking the feelings. You cannot kill away a feeling. As Zainab Sadat said that, you know, she had a friend. She had the story that we heard
Come
right
on,
now.
Come on, you're killing it. It's not
no, no,
masking.
No. It's
masking. Don't make it look nice.
You just turn them off temporary.
No, 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 I'll tell you why she...
And that's a
why
better
she
point
turned
to
into,
say. We just turn them off temporarily.
I'll tell you why her friend became a good lawyer or like a good
judge.
Judge, yeah. You know why? Because she masked her feelings. She did not kill her feelings. She masked her feelings that got trapped into an energy, and that energy came out into some other form. But sometimes this mm-hmm. energy may come out into a negative form. It may have some health consequences. So it never fades away. It gets just transformed into some energy that always remains within you. And that may give you some willpower to do some other things,
yeah.
you know, do some other good things.
So what about sacrifice?
Sacrifices are always there.
Is it the same as sacrifice? Sacrificing yourself for the benefit of others. It is not the benefit of you.
Well, sometimes since we're all girls, I'll say most of the girls do that, especially at the time of marriage.
Yeah, since today's session is the women of the round table.
I'll say most of the girls do that. For example, even in their very important decision of
yeah,
life.
Yeah, that is very
For example,
true.
If you're going to marry someone,
mm-hmm.
you marry for your parents sometimes, but you don't express your own feelings. And
yeah.
that time you feel like you're sacrificing your life for your parents, but you forget the fact the entire life you have to live for yourself. It's not the sacrifice of a moment. It's the sacrifice of entire life.
Yeah.
You have to compromise each and every second you're living with the person. You masked your feelings for your parents.
Yeah.
So it's not always, even it's for your parents, like it's not always smart to mask your feelings or kill your feelings for others.
Thank you.
So here comes this notion. I would change my expression. I would say that it actually is killing our feelings for the benefit of others. There is no way to kill our emotions for our own benefits. You know what I mean? Because if it is my benefit, then I would never turn it off.
You know? You'll fly with your feelings.